This episode of the Michigan District's Thought Leaders Podcast is the second on the topic of conversational evangelism. While the content of the first podcast was focused on broadening connections into the community, this podcast is focused on the skills that can be developed to engage people in meaningful conversations. The Reverend Dr. Todd Jones of the Michigan District will be discussing the art of initiating a conversation, the use of questions to draw people into faith conversation, and strategies for follow-up.
Welcome. I'm Todd Jones. This podcast is part two of a two-part series on conversational evangelism. In the last podcast, I introduced the topic of conversational evangelism. By way of review, in the last podcast, I gave you two challenges. First, leverage the power of paths and nodes to your advantage. Remember that it's important for you to take time to get to know the culture. Second, remember that you are in the community to be light and salt, people of grace. You are challenged to look for opportunities to encourage people with the Word of God and to pray for their needs. As I mentioned, unlike traditional confrontational evangelism, which is rooted in decision theology, conversational evangelism is about creating an open conversational environment where the gospel can be shared. There are significant challenges in conversational evangelism. First, there is the issue of getting around people with whom you wish to share the gospel. That was discussed in the previous podcast. Second, there is the issue of striking up a conversation with the people you meet. Third, there is the challenge of moving a casual conversation to a more serious spiritual conversation. And finally, there's the challenge of creating an open door for future conversations. In today's podcast, I want to cover the last three of these challenges. My hope is that you will gain greater confidence to be bold witnesses for the gospel as you put your new skills into practice. Doug Pollack, in his book, Godspace, provides a helpful framework for conversational evangelism. He suggests that there are four parts to an effective conversational witness: conversational starters, building bridges with questions, observations that feed interest, and truths that transform. Let's take a look at those four components, those four skills, in a bit more detail. Conversational starters. To be effective at conversational evangelism, you need to develop the practice of chatting with people. It's kind of like fishing. There are those fishermen who will throw their line in the water and wait for the right fish to be at the right place to nibble on the hook. Then there are those fishermen who cast their line in the water multiple times in multiple places. They seek to connect their hook to the hungry fish wherever it can be found. Both have merits, but the odds are in favor of the second fisherman having fish for dinner at the end of the day. In the same way, we are to strike up conversations in many locations at many opportunities because we never know when one of those conversations will lead to a deeper spiritual conversation. For extreme introverts, starting up a conversation with another person can be very intimidating. As with most things in life, the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll become at initiating conversation. So I do encourage you to get in the habit of intentionally creating conversations with people you meet throughout the day. Starting good conversations requires you to be fully engaged in the moment. What I mean is that you need to notice people and how they interact with their environment. Notice the expressions on their face, their body language, the choice of clothing that they're wearing. Your observations are the source of good conversation starters. Try the following. Strike up a simple conversation with people you meet at a restaurant, a coffee shop, at the supermarket, in the mall, or the city park. Compliment someone regarding a piece of jewelry they're wearing or their positive outlook. If they have a dog, compliment them because the dog is cute. Talk about the weather. Ask them about a book or paper that they're holding. If they're smiling, compliment them and ask them, "What's the good news today?" Ask about the meal they're eating or their favorite sports team. The point is, start quick, light conversations as often as you can. Third, ask for help. When we ask people for help, it most often boosts their sense of self-worth and they become more open to conversation. It can be something simple like, "Have you eaten here before? What do you recommend?" You could use a survey as an excuse for a conversation. For example, "I'm still trying to navigate digital communications, so I'm taking a survey regarding text messaging. When does it become rude if you do not respond to a text message? After an hour, 4 hours, a day, or 2 days?" I'm always amazed at how chatty people can become when you ask them to share their opinion on a light, silly topic. Adjust your schedule. Too often we miss ministry and mission opportunities because our schedule is so packed that we just don't have time. Conversational evangelism takes a great deal of time and a tremendous amount of patience. If we do not make it a priority, we're not likely to see the fruit of our efforts, and we will give up. Second skill, Pollock mentions, is building bridges with questions. Questions are powerful tools to draw people into deeper, more productive conversation. Good questions flow naturally from the conversation. They promote dialogue. Most importantly, good questions compel others to investigate the life of Jesus. One conversational evangelist has suggested that questions be used to draw people into conversation, and he identified three types of questions, three levels of questions that draw people increasingly from the fringe into the inner circle of spiritual conversation. First, he suggests there are polite questions that we ask initially. How are you? Have you lived around here long? These kind of questions open the door for conversation. Good, polite questions should avoid putting the person in an awkward position of being judged. In other words, good, polite questions should not be knowledge-based questions such as how many pints are in a gallon, or what year was the Civil War ended. Interest questions are the second-level questions, such as, do you have children? Where do they go to school? Interest questions demonstrate that you are really interested in them, and that's unusual these days. Interest questions help move the conversation from the public sphere to the private sphere. It is in the private sphere that relationships develop. The third type of question, the concern question, demonstrates that you really care about the person to whom you're speaking. For example, good examples of concern questions include, how do your children find their school? Are they doing well? Be ready, though. By the time you ask the third question, often people will talk and talk. They'll tell you some of the most private things in their lives. Why? Because you're interested. You care, and they're looking for someone to listen to them. It's amazing how rare it is to have someone really listen to you these days. While questions are critical tools for having meaningful conversations, Doug Pollock in his book warns that questions should not be used to gain control of the conversation. They should not be used as a springboard to launch into a monologue. The purpose of questions is to create a safe place for spiritual conversation to occur. The safety of that space is determined by the individual as they come to know that you care about them and that you're actually listening with interest to them. Doug encourages that when people make outrageous statements about the Christian faith, the church, or life in general, we demonstrate that we value free expression by not defending ourselves or criticizing their point of view, but by seeking greater understanding. He encourages the use of the wondering questions. A properly phrased wondering question is not judgmental, but it is challenging. He offers the following suggestions as good wondering questions that promote deep, healthy conversation. An example of a good wondering question would be, that's an interesting perspective. I'm wondering how you arrived at that conclusion. Or, I'm wondering what role religion has played in shaping your life. Or, I'm wondering what you think you'd have to give up or lose to become a Christian. Or, as we've been talking, I've heard you talk about several things that seem to be missing in your life right now. I'm wondering if you're searching for something that's capable of filling those voids. His book contains several other examples of wondering questions. The third skill that Doug outlines in his book are observations that feed interest. Good questions are essential to effective conversational evangelism. However, without an attentive listening ear, good questions are meaningless. Try not to get caught up in arguments, but get to the core of their concerns. In other words, listen for the question behind the question. For example, if someone brings up the Bible's teaching about drug abuse, they may not want an explanation about ethics, but they may be wondering if Jesus could love someone struggling with a problem such as theirs. If you sense that you're being compelled to defend the Bible, Jesus, or the church, likely the enemy is trying to sidetrack the conversation. Take a mental step back and ask for clarity. For example, if the person asks, if Christianity is a peaceful religion, why did the Christians kill so many people during the Crusades? While it would be very tempting to go into a history lesson and try to justify the actions of the medieval church, that would not help the evangelism process. Rather, using one of the wondering questions above, you could ask, that's an interesting perspective. I'm wondering how you arrived at that conclusion. It is possible that the person has experienced anger and condemnation from Christians, and that is reinforcing the perception about the Christian church during the Crusades. Then the real question becomes acceptance in God's kingdom and what it means to be justified through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The final skill outlined by Doug is truth that transform. The final part of conversational evangelism is sharing God's truth. Now don't miss this. You rarely have an opportunity to do this in the first conversation. In fact, you may not have an opportunity to go into detail about the gospel message for several conversations. Remember, conversational evangelism is about conversation. This is not to say that you ignore the gospel altogether until you sense the timing is right. It means that the truth you share might be a bit of the truth because that's all that can be shared at that time. For example, when the conversation is over, you may say, "I'm going to be praying for you because God does amazing things when we come to Him in prayer. Here's my card. Would you let me know how God helps you out of this situation?" While the statement does not share the gospel, it does convey good news which rests upon the shoulders of our God. When the truth is shared, care needs to be taken that you do not suddenly shift from conversation to monologue. The gospel message is a conversation. It is a conversation between God's heart and the heart of the listener. That conversation happens best when we know both hearts well. I like to use four truths to help me navigate the gospel conversation. First, we are God's redeemed children. Regardless of any action on our part, Jesus has already shed His blood for the sins of all. Through Him, we have redemption. Second, the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts. It's not the act of human will or the power of human persuasion. It is God's gracious gift. Third, we can only experience the reality of this gift through faith in Jesus Christ. Fourth, transformed living is only possible with a heart that is transformed by Jesus. Before I wrap up this podcast, I want to talk about strategies to encourage follow-up conversations. The lack of a guaranteed opportunity for follow-up is the nature of conversational evangelism. Any attempts to force a follow-up may damage the trust you've developed. However, there are some things that you can do to encourage follow-up. First, be consistent in the nodes that you visit. While some people randomly wander in and out of a node, most people are creatures of habit. Once they find a place that they like or that is convenient, they'll keep coming back. The odds are pretty good that you'll bump into them again. When you do bump into them, don't expect the conversation to pick up where it left off. Start by greeting them by name. Ask good follow-up questions based on the information they shared from your interest questions or your concern questions in the previous conversation. By remembering their names and the content of your conversations, you will demonstrate that you value them. Second, as I shared in my previous illustration, if you've offered to pray, ask if you could give them a business card and encourage them to contact you and keep you updated on their situation. Your card should include a phone number that can receive text messages, an email address, and your Facebook or Instagram ID. It can include your congregation's information as well. While there are pros and cons to Facebook or Instagram, they do allow people a safe way to check you out and determine if you're safe or not. A third possible follow-up step is to invite them to an event. The event shouldn't be a church event, or at least not at the church. The best events are those based on shared interest. It could be a Bible discussion group at a microbrew or a bonfire at your home with a small group of friends. To be most successful, the invitation isn't based on the conversation, but on the desire to have this person be a part of a larger network of your friends. That's all I've got for this podcast. I hope that through the last two sessions, you've been inspired to set aside time for conversational evangelism. As with most all the podcasts here in the Thought Leader series, I want to leave you with some takeaways. First, keep connecting in the nodes. Keep getting into the community and establishing your footprint in micro cultures of your community. Second, start up conversations. As you greet people, invite conversation. Third, practice good questions. I really appreciate Doug Pollack's discussion on wandering questions, and I try to apply them in my own life and have had good success with them. Finally, seek opportunities for the good news. Seek ways to share the good news of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ and that our Heavenly Father loves us and desires us to be a part of His family. I also want to recommend two books. I've talked about one already, Godspace by Doug Pollack, an excellent book on conversational evangelism, and a second book, written by my good friend Greg Finke, a Lutheran pastor, Joining Jesus or Joining Jesus, Show Me How. Both books are very helpful in teaching conversational relational evangelism. If you have questions about this or any of the podcasts that you've heard, feel free to contact me via email at todd.jones@michigandistrict.org or call the district office and they will put you in contact with me. God's blessings on your week ahead.